Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish to go. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When our first father, Adam, fell, it was not only a sin of disobedience, but fundamentally one of pride, as the fathers tell us. He had relied on his own will rather than the will of God. We embark now on the great season of Lent to follow our Lord as he undoes this great sin of disobedience and pride of our first father. Just as St. Paul tells us, for as by the disobedience of one man, many were made sinners, so also by the obedience of one, many shall be made just. It is a process we begin today, a seed we plant that will flower into the tree of life on Good Friday and yield the fruit of a blessed eternity on the third day as our Savior rises from the tomb. Yet for us to profit as well as we can from this holy season, we do well to remember that the essence of penance is the mortification of the will, even as original sin was born in the satisfaction of our will, Adam trusting in himself. We may choose many penances during this holy season. Many are the mortifications we may impose on ourselves. They are good and salutary. It is necessary that we discipline ourselves. They are good because this season invites us to subject our bodies to what is reasonable and holy. Even as Adam had rebelled against God, so his own flesh had rebelled against him, and so against us. Therefore, we seek by mortification to subdue our senses, our imagination, to the rule of reason, to the law of God written on our hearts, to cleanse our memories, to affirm us in good action, actions of mercy and almsgiving. Beyond that subjection, we seek to make, of course, satisfaction and reparation for our sins. And yet, while it is good and necessary that we impose penances on ourselves, that we, for example, give up certain delectable foods of our own free choosing, that we abstain from social media, that we turn off our screens, we must remember that the most valuable penances during the season of Lent, and indeed in the season of our entire lives, are the penances we do not choose, but out of a spirit of obedience we embrace, adoring the holy will of God that presents them to us. For this is the essence of penance, the mortification of our will. As I read to you at the beginning, our blessed Savior says to the Prince of the Apostles, St. Peter, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you girded yourself and walked where you would. But when you are old, another will gird you and carry you where you would not wish to go." Our dear patron, St. Francis de Sales, evokes this passage about St. Peter's martyrdom to illustrate a point about penance. St. Francis says in the letter of the year 1612, quote, "Young apprentices in divine love gird themselves. They elect or choose mortifications that seem to them good. They choose their own penances and do their own will along with the will of God. But masters in this trade of divine love, allow themselves to be bound and girded by another." We might naturally think that the penances we choose freely are worth more to God, but St. Francis teaches us the contrary. For him, as I said, the essence of penance is the mortification of our will, that it is a higher degree of the love of the will of God to obey his commandments, his counsels, the words he speaks to us in the heart of our conscience, rather than our own self-will. For in that moment we do not follow ourselves, but rather we attach our will to that of another, and we attack directly the root of all of our sin, the pride and disobedience of our first father, the disordered nature of our flesh that resulted from his fall. St. Francis de Sales had been formed by Jesuits, and it is in the life of their founder, St. Ignatius, that he found an example of this doctrine. He wrote to St. Jane Frances de Chantal in the year 1604, quote, "Father Ignatius Loyola, who was about to be canonized, He ate meat in a time of penance at the mere request of a physician who judged it expedient because of a slight illness. The saint continues, a constrained spirit would have had to pray about this for 3 days. What we see in this passage of our dear patron is that the simplicity of St. Ignatius demonstrated a great freedom, not passivity, but activity. St. Ignatius, in obeying the advice of his physician, avoided a very material understanding of the spirit of penance, which would have avoided meat at all costs. He instead ate meat out of obedience to another, and ultimately to our Lord's will, which he discerned in the counsel of his physician. In like manner, as long as there is no detriment to faith, morals, or the duties of our state in life, we can advance very quickly in perfection by preferring the will of another. All things being equal, we should always choose what mortifies our will, for that is the heart of the spirit of penance. Monsignor Francis Vincent, commenting on this passage of St. Francis de Sales, says, quote, St. Francis also taught something that narrow minds find very difficult to accept, namely that an act, even one very pleasing to us, when done through obedience, is of greater value than an act, even one very displeasing to us, when the latter is done through self-seeking. To take part happily in a prescribed recreation can be more meritorious than to perform difficult penance we oppose and that we have imposed on ourselves. In summary, Monsignor Vincent quotes our dear saint saying, therefore I say that we must not ask for anything, nor refuse anything. In this practice is to be found our whole perfection. Obedience is the love of the will of God in all of its forms, and penance is not merely choosing pain for its own sake, but joyfully accepting pain when that same holy will presents it to us. How might we apply the spirit of this doctrine to our own observance of Lent? Firstly, we must therefore esteem very greatly the penances which Holy Mother Church imposes upon us. They must be esteemed above everything that we could possibly invent for ourselves. Compared to the practice of our fathers and their faith, let us grant, they may appear to be very little. However, remember Naaman the Syrian, who had almost rejected a simple bathing in the Jordan because it was too little, and was healed by the same. We must strive not to be puffed up by pride, but to embrace the little that the Church asks of us with great attention and love in the spirit of obedience. Let us not only abstain, but remember why we give up meat on Fridays, why we impose ashes on our heads. Remember that Friday is the day our Savior sanctified by his death, that he is our true nourishment, that we weaken our bodies to bring them into submission, to repair what our first father did, what we ourselves have done. As I said at the beginning, it is still good and praiseworthy that we adopt voluntary penances as well, but we must always be careful to do so in a spirit of charity, for it is very likely that there will be a mixture of motives in embracing penances that we choose. We must be careful not to seek ourselves in our penances, but the love of the will of God. Charity must reign at all times. If by my additional penances I compromise my charity to my neighbor, then the spirit of Lent is not in me. As St. Paul says, without charity, I am nothing. Lastly, we must adopt a general spirit of obedience, which consists in embracing the will of God at every moment. By his blessed providence, our Lord will lead us to many occasions which we do not choose, which will contradict our preferences, especially in the season of Lent. Inconveniences, slights, illnesses, yet even greater trials, tragedies and loss, insults and injuries, or even good and pleasant things that obedience requires we accept when we would rather have less. The spirit of obedience, together with the spirit of faith, sees in them not merely something material and imperfect, but the hand of our loving Father, who extends to us a cross he has chosen specifically for us. What St. Francis de Sales proposes is not stoicism, not mere passivity. No, on the contrary, we must actively choose to carry our cross and not merely bear it in a spirit of love, because it is fundamentally a detachment from ourselves. And so there may be moments we are asked to do something which, to us, objectively seems less penitential, but charity may require. Perhaps you are invited to someone's home to share a meal with them, to comfort them, or merely in a spirit of fraternity, and they, unaware of the additional penances you have imposed on yourself, offer you a very festive meal. It could be in that moment for you an act of charity, rather than to make a great show of your penitential practices, to accept the meal in simplicity, to enjoy it simply in the spirit of affability, confident that the same God who died for you on the cross brought you to this moment to exercise charity rather than corporal penance. In that moment, nevertheless, the spirit of penance will be satisfied by your obedience to God's providence. For though you may not deny your body in that moment, in denying your will, you will win a greater crown. Let obedience to God's holy will be our primary focus during this season, following the obedience of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we indeed turn now to Calvary on this altar, and very soon on the altar of the cross, with our eyes on the sacred face of our blessed Savior, who humbled himself, as the Apostle says, becoming obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross, for which cause God hath also exalted him and hath given him a name which is above all names. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Ghost. Amen.